You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome to a Saturday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We are going to talk about the Raptors game that the Pacers just won 107-104, and then we're going to preview the Celtics game that's tomorrow night. And to do that with me, literally with me, we went to the game together for the first time, is my co-host Adam Friedman.
Hey, I'm here in the background. Fit me up right? Yeah, we're good. We're good.
This is our first time using my microphone and doing this together. So if our sound quality is not good, that is 100% my fault. But
it looks fine. Looks fine.
In a game in which the Pacers were losing for much of the middle of the game, they were able to pull it out. Kyle Lowry really jumped the Raptors out ahead in the middle quarters, but the Pacers were able to pull it out thanks to a crazy fourth quarter from none other than Lance Stephenson, who was 7 of 9 and 4 of 4 from deep. Adam, how great was Lance down the stretch?
He was their only offense, right? Oladipo got hurt with 6 minutes, give or take, and he was awesome. I cannot count the amount of times Tony said, "Oh, don't take that shot! Don't take that shot!" And then Stephenson took it and then drained it. It was really funny.
It was crazy how many times. I think he had the one step back over who was switched on him, Serge Ibaka. That I was like, "Oh, Lance,
on the corner, man. on the left wing."
Yeah, on the left wing, and he nailed it. And he led the Pacers to a nice win at the end. They almost blew it. Collison, very reliant free throw shooter, Collison missed one, and the Raptors had a chance to tie, but didn't really do anything with it. Fred VanVleet, for some reason, took their game-tying attempt from three. For the first time ever, I have to concede defeat because the Raptors won the rebounding battle and the Pacers still won the game. So for the first time ever that season, that'll happen. But what were your keys for the Pacers today, Adam?
I mean, I thought coming into the game it was Oladipo try to feed Turner, get something going. They didn't play Valanciunas very much, which is, I guess, the Toronto just made the judgment that they didn't need to play him. I wouldn't have said it was Stephenson make, how many, made 5 threes probably during the day?
Four.
Yep. 4 threes. I wouldn't have said that, but I guess that's what counted. Stephenson, I mean, they basically threw out the playbook, right? I mean, the Bogdanović had a pretty nice night. They really didn't run a ton of plays. We were talking about throughout the game how they didn't run a ton of plays. They sort of, like, their offense is kind of, like, weird and stagnant, and they're trying to set pick and roll sometimes. And for some stretches, they got some things going, but most of the time it was just, it was like a lot of one-on-one ball at the end of the game. Basically, I think you said John Fillet tweeted it out, right? Somebody tweeted out that basically Lance bailed them out by hitting 4 threes at the end of the game, despite they turn over the ball like every third play.
Yeah, they didn't look great in the fourth on offense. Their defense was really solid. Here's a testament to their defense, though. They were able to win in a game where Sabonis and Turner combined were 4 of 17. I didn't even know that until we literally were just now looking at the box score. Turner, thanks to his excellent defense, he had hit the glass with his 10 rebounds. That might be a season high. He has not been hitting the glass too hard. Was a plus 18 in his 21 minutes. He was excellent. They kept subbing him in for offense, weirdly, down the stretch. Instead, they would sub Sabonis in for defense and Turner in for offense.
And it backfired. They made a really bad sub at the end of the game where they took out Turner and they took out Collison, and then immediately Toronto just drove right to the rim and dunked it over.
Yeah.
And then he got fouled, too. I mean, there were numerous ways that he could have lost this game and probably should have. And Lance's three-point shooting at the end of the game just bailed them out, and they won. And they made a nice defensive play on the very last play where Turner forced, I think it was Lowry, over to the side and kind of blocked him. One of the plays he forced Lowry over to the side before they got the rebound and go up 107-104. But, yeah, there's numerous ways they could have lost this game. They actually probably dominated most of the game except for, like, a second-quarter stretch where Lowry just couldn't miss. I mean, he was hitting shots from probably 25 feet at times.
Or longer, yeah.
Yeah, he was pulling up.
5 of 9 from three for Lowry.
He was awesome. I mean, he had from the second quarter stretch from about 10 minutes to the end of the half. I mean, the game went from, at one point, it was 27-14 Pacers, then it was 60-50 at the half. So, I mean, huge flip, but they figured it out. They came out pretty well in the second half, too, I thought. Oladipo finally got it going second half. He came out, I think he had the first 5 points, so I don't know how they won this one, but they did, and it's one of those you take, and now actually they're moving within range of getting, you know, top four, top five in the East. It's pretty exciting, actually. Think about it, and they got the Celtics tomorrow.
Yeah, the infamous Lowry in the bench unit was once again good. Lowry was the only starter who was -5 or better, and all the bench guys were plus 16. Norm Powell plus 16, Jakob Poeltl plus 16, Fred VanVleet plus 18. That lineup was really working. Those guys were able to score much better than they always do. Fred VanVleet, 16's got to be a season high. I don't actually know.
He played. We should give a shout out. Well, he did not him, but some of the bench guys got to play because of a shout out to our former Pacers CJ Miles, who had a kid.
Yeah, CJ Miles had a kid and did not play, unfortunately. Would have liked to see him play, but congrats on the kid to him and Lauren, who he spoke with this summer. OG Anunoby, the IU grad, on his return, 3 of 5, 8 points, minus 20. He could not stop either Bojan or Vic, whoever he was guarding on that possession. Not a good one from him, but he's a rookie. It's going to happen. The last thing we have to talk about has to be Oladipo's injury, right?
Yeah, so Jemael tweeted that he tweaked his knee. I don't know what that means, if he tweaked his knee, but we were talking about the game. If he's actually hurt, maybe he shouldn't play against Celtics tomorrow. Well, that'll be tonight. We're recording this on a Sunday, right after the game. Friday, right after the game. I'm off. Thanksgiving week, I'm off on the days. It's been a whole week of not working, basically. So, but still, if he's really hurt, he probably shouldn't play in the back-to-back. But I don't know how serious it was. He looked fine when he came back off the bench. He put on a sleeve on his knee. Thought he'd come back in, and then Lance got hot. So I think they just kind of kept Lance out there and decided to see if they could go with that Oladipo. Because at one point, they were actually up like 103-91, I think, at one point. And so it looked like, oh, they're just going to blow them out. With that 3 minutes left, they were up 12, but then the Raptors made it a game, and then it got kind of tight. But whatever, it worked for Nate McMillan. You know, he ran a bunch of – it was really kind of one of those – weird lineup games where we're like, oh man, McMillan, you think he's a good coach? Maybe he's not. But hopefully Oladipo's okay. If he plays tomorrow, we'll see. I would probably check back tomorrow morning, or now, actually right now, if you're listening to the podcast, to see what the team is saying, because I imagine just how much it swells up when he wakes up the next day.
That is a good transition to the Celtics. The last thing I want to say is Corey Joseph had a hilarious stat line, 22 minutes, only 3 shots, no points. But I think we should move on and talk about the Celtics. And tonight, the Pacers will play the Celtics, who just had a, 16-game win streak? 16-game win streak.
16-game win streak snap. They snapped lost.
Snapped by Miami.
They won tonight 118.
They won tonight 118-107. They lost to the Heat to end their win streak 98-104 on the 22nd, so that was Wednesday.
I'm pissed they lost.
I wanted them to be playing them on the streak so bad. But the bread and butter for the Celtics, they are first in defense in the whole league, 18th in offense, 21st in pace. So they play slow, and they just shut you down on the heels of Al Horford, who has been one of the best defenders in the league this year, and that scares me because he can defend in space.
Was Boston in Orlando or at home?
They were at home, so they're traveling to Indy from Orlando on a back-to-back for this game.
Okay. So I'm just trying to think, because Indy people have the advantage of playing a home back-to-back, actually. Yeah. Pacers have played a ton of back-to-backs this first.
The last one, finally, in the big home stretch.
For a while,
stretch.
Right? I think they have a couple in late February, I think is when they got their next one, but... So that's fortunate for them. The Celtics are traveling. They come here. And not a close travel. You know, it's a plane ride. The game ended at 10. Leave at 11. 2-hour flight from Boston to here, at least. Maybe 3. 2.5, probably. So maybe they can catch him on that kind of thing. But I think, like we were talking about earlier, it's all like Oladipo plays. Oladipo doesn't play. Probably aren't going to win. But, you know, if they do it, it'd be a really big weekend for them to take this to a 6-game win streak. And, you know, with Orlando Monday, they can make it 7. They have a nice five-game home stretch. So, like, there's a good chance, you know, Pacers could pull off in the next 12 games, including the last four. They could go 8 of 10, 9 of 11, whatever it is. That would be really good and could push them kind of into the top four and kind of out of the cluster that is, like, the middle of these conferences. Like, there are a bunch of teams between the records of probably 8 and 10 and 10 and 8. I guess probably now 11 and 8.
Yeah, big key in this one, like I said earlier, the heels of Al Horford. He has a 114 offensive rating and a 98 defensive rating, plus 16. He's just been so hard to eat, both score on and stop. Him and Kyrie really gel on offense. Horford's also hitting the glass really hard, and he's part of the reason the Celtics are first in defensive rebounding and total rebounding every game. So if the Pacers are missing shots, not going to be good because they're not going to get many second chance opportunities. So I am fearful for the dominance of Horford, but obviously the guy to watch is going to be Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. We were talking about the game. So, might be unpopular opinion that we have, but you take what you have. So we're not ungrateful for having Oladipo to watch and Sabonis to watch. But if you go back, the Pacers would trade Paul George for Kyrie in a minute. I think every Pacer fan should agree that Kyrie is the player that they would rather have over Oladipo. Not saying Oladipo is bad, not saying Sabonis is bad, but Kyrie is another level. I mean, Kyrie is playing. He probably is not the MVP this year so far. I think Harden is, LeBron probably is in that position, but he's playing as a top three, top five player. I guess hard to point guard, so technically he's probably the second best point guard in the league right now, playing wise. But Kyrie's been awesome. We talk about Horford, who's like kind of the best, just
all around.
I call glue guy almost all around player. But Kyrie's awesome, and he's playing defense. I wouldn't say he's playing like superb defense, but he's playing better defense than Isaiah Thomas, which is not saying much. But it actually makes this team even better because they won 53 games with one of the worst defensive point guards in the league, and now they have a above average defender in Kyrie. At least can And when he tries, he's got the height and the skill to play above average point guard defense. So the Celtics are scary right now because I think they've got a really good coach. They've got a really good point guard. They've got a really good center. I know they don't have Hayward. They have a bunch of young guys. I mean, they're the team where I'm not sure they can try to playoff success, but they're going to win a lot of games this season. They're going to be scary. They're probably maybe close to a 60-win team.
Yeah, their defense has been just unbelievable. That Warriors game, the Warriors just shoot you out of the gym, and they only scored 89 against the Celtics. It was crazy. Kyrie's been really good in the clutch, so if there's a clutch situation, I worry about whoever's guarding him in isolation.
Who would be guarding him? Collison?
That's a good question. Yeah, if Debo doesn't play especially.
Oh, yikes.
That could be a scary situation. This Celtics team has just been so good at grinding these games to a halt and scoring in the half court, and that's really a testament to Brad Stevens. Got to shout out the Butler guy. Brad Stevens, his really good coaching. He runs really good half court sets, gets open shots for his guys, and the fact that guys like Kyrie Irving, who have never been good on defense, are trying, and guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who are both really young, are just absolutely killing it on the court. You know, that's all Stevens, getting these guys to buy in and play the system.
So there's a chance Marcus Morris will not play tomorrow's game, and there's a chance that Jaylen Brown might. I think Jaylen Brown, they said, was going to a funeral Saturday day. He's going to try to make it back for the game, so look for that. That could be two keys if both guys don't play. That kind of weakens their depth. Wow.
Marcus Smart might have to start. I have to look at their lineup. Kyrie would be one. Tatum would be one. Probably go Baines and Horford. I don't know who their last starter would be in that situation. That'd be very interesting. It'd probably be Smart. But
yeah, Smart's been playing really well.
He's a great
defender.
He plays
really well with Kyrie, too.
I worry in this game the most about the bench for the Pacers because with guys like Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, Daniel Tice, you know, Baines off the bench, they're going to have their hands full, especially against the Stevens machine. It's going to be a tough one for the bench guys.
Yeah, but you're just counting the Lance at home factor. Lance is like, at home, you got to think Lance is like a top bench player. And on the road, Lance is not. But at home, Lance is a 19.5 rebound a night kind of guy.
We should have shouted out Lance for having his season high with 18 points. He was really integral in this win against the Raptors.
He really tried to shoot his 3-point shot. It's back out of oblivion. He's went 4-for-4, so I'll prove that 21% 3-point shooting.
To 24 or something. I don't know, actually.
He's making an effort. Good for him.
Sean Woodley, the Locked On Raptors host, says Lance is one of his least favorite players now. So good for Lance for making enemies. I get why he would not be liked if he was not on your own team.
But there was a tweet out there that was like, well, you want that guy. You want Lance shooting the pullback three, the step back three. If he makes it, you lose. Like, that's just I don't think the Raptors could play any better defense. You force the ball. You force Pacers into isolation basketball with their worst shooter, and they lost. I mean, I think it's a game to talk up to just like one of those basketball gods, you know, putting something on Lance.
If he's hitting against the Celtics, then I think that the Celtics will just lose because that's pretty true. If Lance has been the reason for inefficiencies on the bench offense, so if he's hitting his shots, the bench is super good.
We talked about it though. He's kind of turned a corner in this last week. He looked great against Miami. But we were talking about if Lance could just be like a 9-5-4 guy every night, like that's all they need. He's not, right. A night like this, yes. If you get that 9-4-5 every night and you get the occasional 18-point night, Lance becomes all of a sudden a positive bench player because he becomes a neutral when he's just every game, then he becomes a positive every eighth game, let's say. He's done this three times now, so we're three times in 19 games. He's had three pretty good, stretches, two in late fourth quarters, so you never know. I don't know. I mean, I don't like to predict it's going to happen long term, but if that's what he can become, and you just look at the beginnings, maybe he's in a slump or kind of getting adjusted, and he plays the next 70 games this way, then he might be back on his cheap contract next year.
Yeah, I'll have to see. It could be interesting in this game. Something to watch for with Sabonis and Turner is the Celtics are fourth in total free throws attempted this season, so they're pretty good at getting to the line, which with a guy like Sabonis who is super foul prone, that could be scary, especially because they're hitting them at a really nice 78% so far this season. So that could be a nice way for them to generate some easy offense.
Yeah, the Celtics, I we'll get to our predictions later. They're just a scary team because they're a super, super well-coached team. I think you can't hit on enough how well-coached they are. I mean, Brad Stevens is out of time. I mean, he probably is such a positive amount of timeout plays, and he just, I don't know what it is about him, but they're just such a well-coached team, and that's scary because the Pacers never did well against the Celtics. The Celtics always got a ton of threes attempts on them, and they're a better three-point shooting than they've been in the past. So I worry about this game, but I think maybe there's some momentum rolling. The Pacers are kind of feeling themselves right now. If they're having that kind of slump, they turn it around. Maybe this is, maybe we'll talk about this in 10 games, and this is like the stretch where the Pacers start kind of separating themselves from the rest of the East.
Yeah, who do you think's due for a big game? Let's do our butcher and successor or whatever the heck we're calling it.
So, well, yeah, what did we determine we're going to call it? We never figured that out.
I don't think we ever figured it out.
I think it was like Pacer Hero and Butcher for sure. But what are we going to do first, Butcher or Hero?
Let's do whatever, the Hero, I guess?
Let's call it
X-Factor.
X-Factor.
Boom, okay.
That's what it was. You had to look up your own writing to figure that one out. X-Factor. So Pacer X-Factor to start?
Yeah, sure.
I'm trying to go through a list in my head, so I'm just kind of marking Oladipo's
going to
be hurt.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, if Oladipo doesn't play, that changes absolutely everything.
But even if he does play, let's say he's even like 80%.
I'm not picking him.
No, I know, I'm not picking him. I'm trying to think, I mean.
I know who I'm picking, so.
Well, I know who you're going to pick. I don't want to steal your guy, so I'm going to be nice.
The Bungalow is going to be out for the Celtics.
You go first, as you know who you're going to pick.
I mean, it's just that rookies will be on him, and if they're running him off of screens, you know. I mean, he was 1-5 in this game from three, but obviously he's been the hottest shooter on the team. So Bojan is due for another
Can
nice
we just
game.
Talk about how impressive he's been? I mean,
19 points, second on the team.
What was it, the first 7 or 8 games he struggled, but for the last 12, he's been so impressive. And I've been impressed by his around-the-rim game.
Yeah, you said that during the game. He finished tonight, like, he was 1-5 from three, and he still got 19 points. Like, you'd never expect that from a guy with his skill set.
Even if he doesn't score at the rim, he gets fouled. And then he's like, I don't know, what, 80% free throw shooter, if not higher? I mean, like, he's just – I just didn't see it in him. I mean, he really can play with the pace of the team, which is I thought was going to be his issue, that he's just, like, just not fast enough. But he's so good, and he's so good at kind of, like, slipping around in spaces and kind of lingering around the corners when people run in transition because he knows he's the guy for transition three. He's awesome. I mean, I can't say enough about him. He seemed like he's putting up 20 a night for the past week, it seems like.
So, another reason I'm picking him is because of the possibility of no Morris or Brown means the wings could be.
Oh, and the young guards, well, he'll just
tear him apart.
Yeah, he's a... We talked about... What do they do? They put the four IQ players around Stevenson.
Yeah.
He's just a really high IQ basketball player, and he'll figure out how to slip around a screen or go at a guy or get a driving, you know, a pass cut into the rim. He'll figure it out, so I like that one.
This might be unfair for your X Factor, but my second choice would have been Thaddeus Young because of the Marcus Morris.
So that's I was eyeing him or Sabonis.
Okay.
Because I think
if Sabonis keeps his fouls, then he can have a nice game.
Yeah. Sabonis wasn't in foul trouble this game. It was Turner with
foul trouble. No, he only had two this game, yeah.
Yeah, Turner got in foul
Five,
trouble. Sabonis had a bad game, it felt like, tonight. And I don't know if that
two
just...
2-10.
He just felt like he wasn't a presence out there. And I think part of it was that the Toronto can stretch the floor really well with Ibaka, and that kind of takes him out. But if Horford plays a little more traditional center than most players, I just wonder if Sabonis has to be a factor against him, and if, you know, if he has a good game, if him or Turner has a good game, that could be the game-changing movement, because if they can kind of figure out how to even contain Horford at the wing, because Horford does a really good job of becoming kind of the mid-facilitator in some sense, where they give him the ball at the top of the key and he finds the guy, and he's a really good rebounder, so one of the guys have a really good game, I think that could be the reason they win. So I'm gonna pick Sabonis or Turner. I think it's going to be Sabonis over Turner. I don't know what is with Turner right now, but he seems to be like trying to score too much. But he had a good rebounding night, so I don't know.
I'm not picking Darren Collison because Kyrie is going to score all over him.
Yeah. Collison's got to learn how to be like...
I think we should do our Kyrie / Horford not included Butchers if we do Butchers. Just because those two guys are just so consistently good this year that I feel like it's almost... like a deadlock. Also hilarious, 100% of Aaron Baines' threes this year have been from the corner.
He's taken.
I mean, he's taken like one.
Yeah, so I'm trying to look at how many you take. You're scrolling.
Yeah, I'm scrolling up. Aaron Baines has taken 2 threes, both from the corner, and he missed them both.
So is your non? Do we have the same one in Jaylen Brown or no?
Yeah, I'd pick Jaylen Brown. He's a pretty good defender, and he can score a little bit. He's not doing too well from the free throw line this year, but he did really well last year, so... You know, eventually he's going to be hitting from there, and then he'll be even.
Yeah, the two rookies are the guy to watch. Or not two rookies, the two young
guys.
Well,
Tatum, if Brown isn't playing, I'm picking Tatum. So.
Yeah, the two young guys are to watch. I don't know, I think Brown's going to play. It sounded like he's just going to come back, going to go to the funeral and come back. So I like them, but I don't know.
Yeah, Terry Rozier had 23 tonight against the Magic, so maybe he's someone to watch out for if he's on fire now, apparently. And a guy I really like is Semi Ojeleye. I don't know if I said his name right, but that guy from SMU, he's a super good defender, and he's really bulky like a tank. So if he plays, he could be a guy that's harder to score on at the rim. They're really hard to score on at the rim, so we'll have to see how this one goes.
What's the score you got?
Ooh, I want to pick a Celtics win, which is not cool. But these teams that slow the game down seem to be the Pacers' kryptonite, like Detroit and New Orleans and teams like that. And the Celtics play very slow as well. I think the only team the Pacers have beat that really slow it down was Memphis. So I'm going to...
Memphis didn't have Conley either.
And they didn't have Conley, yeah.
But
so,
if they don't have Brown and Morris, that's
right. Oh, man, this is really close. I'll say 105 because Kyrie's been so clutch. 105, 104, Boston Celtics.
I had a 105, 103 win for the Pacers. For the Pacers, in my
that's
head.
Okay. We're really close still, at least.
Since we finished a little early, do you want to go ahead? Do you want to do some little we can call in-game banter? You know how we things we talk about during the game for a little bit after. Just give people a little taste of what we talk about during the game.
Yeah, sure. I know we said during the game a lot, like, oh, we have to talk about that on the pod, but I feel like we got most of them. I can't remember.
Well, we can do a couple of things.
Specific ones.
Yeah.
All right, so we talked kind of during the game about that thing I wrote too, which is the Pacers, once again, not taking many attempts from three, but absolutely nailing them. So John Schumann from NBA.com's analytics team wrote that one team, one stat series this summer, and the Pacers one was, they were the only team that was bottom five in three-point attempts and top five in three-point percentage. And right now, they're 24th in three-point attempts and first in percentage. So that trend seems to be holding again, but they're over 40% from three. The Warriors team that won 73 games was only at 38% for reference of how crazy that number is. So, I mean, they're just absolutely sinking these shots, and it's very impressive so far.
I actually imagine it went up today, too, with Stevenson's game.
Yeah, they shot over 40% today, so it definitely did.
Yeah, so what that stat basically means is that they're 24th in the league in attempted total threes, but they're shooting the number one three percentage, which means that they're shooting less threes in a row, but making more of them, which is like a weird stat. You know what I mean? Like the Rockets, I don't know what numbers in there, but Rockets are probably first in attempted threes.
They're definitely first.
And they're probably in the teens in made threes, I would guess. Maybe even less than that because they're not actually that great of a three-point shooting team. They're in the low 30s. They're like a low 30s. But it just... You know, it's part of, I know Zach Lowe wrote something about it, how the Pacers are kind of playing, you know, we did talk about it during the game, how there's not a single player on the Pacers that we expected that's playing, besides Miles Turner, who's playing worse than expected, right?
Right.
Every single player on the list, Darren Collison, he's playing better than expected. Oladipo, by far, playing better. He's shooting 43% from three.
Bojan
shooting the last 12 games is at 50% from three. Thad Young maybe is playing what we thought, but that's the point. Turner's the only one. Sabonis playing way ahead of what we thought. He's a double-double machine basically most games. Stevenson, I guess, is the one, but
Corey's been as advertised too. And you had better shooting.
And you had such low expectations of Stevenson that he actually might have exceeded them by now. he basically has won two games for the Pacers by himself. So it's just that's kind of part of it is, can I keep this up? And it's, you know, you teased how you have some tweets ready for when they have the ultimate correction. I won't share what you
don't
tweeted.
Do it.
But it's just interesting to watch with this team because they've been so fun to watch. And we've wondered why. And it's because they've hit all these, like, just almost crazy shots. I mean, Oladipo, the amount of times Tony cringed about, oh, why'd he pull up and take that shot? And then he drains it. Three-point shot. Stevenson the same. I mean, they hit so many pull-up shots on such weird positions. Like, Collison is somehow awesome from that mid-range two top of the key where he gets the underscreen, slips under the screen, and kind of throws it in. I mean, it's just awesome to watch, and I can't explain it. You know, the stats clearly show they're playing better than the best, but maybe this holds. But, I mean, if it doesn't hold, they're going to be in trouble. But our only hope, basically, is if Turner comes back to the mean, and that counters out that drop, basically.
Yeah, well, five guys shooting career high from deep certainly feeds into that playing better than expected. For Joseph especially, he has never shot over 33%. He's in like 45 or something insane. And he's been hitting a lot in spot-ups. I put a video of that in there because he's so cerebral that he can see the open space when Lance is doing his crazy drives. He just slides into the space and nails the shot when it's there. So that's why he's been shooting so well. And then Turner's got the pick and pop working for him. And Bojan is Bojan. So it's really been the two that have been surprising most to me are Sabonis, who was only 3 of 7, but still he was awful last year from three, and Oladipo, he's the big one. 45%, right? Is that what he was going into this game?
Somewhere between 42 and 45. It fluctuates every few games.
Yeah, and he just has been drilling them, and like those pull ups, like Adam just said the story, like he had two or three in the third quarter where he just dribbled down and like 19 on the shot clock and the defenders kind of right on him and he just pulls up from deep and he nails it. And I'm like, why did you shoot that? And then he makes it. So
he's got a lot of heat check in him. Where for a guy who we think isn't a great jump shooter, he actually has a lot of heat check where he kind of sees the ball go in on a layup a couple of times. He all of a sudden starts feeling it, especially at home. I don't know what it is. He loves being at home. The crowd gets in him, it's in with him, and he just starts getting, you know, that like ultimate swagger. Some of that used to see at IU with him, honestly, where he wasn't a three-point shooter at IU, but he used to be the guy where, like, in a big moment at home, he would pull up and hit a shot. I mean, he was a very clutch player at IU, I thought, for a while. So you see some of that in him. Do you think part of this, like, three-point, let's say, like, success is the offense the team's running, or is it just that like, I think around the league, everybody's shooting better from three. Like, almost every player is. I think part of that is players are practicing the three-point shot more than they ever have, like, at a ridiculous rate. I mean, I imagine these guys probably shoot 10,000 threes a day in the offseason. So, is that it, or is it just, like, the offense, the pitcher running, getting them a lot of good open looks?
So, what do you think the league average three-point percentage is this year? If you had to guess, because I looked this up and wrote about it in this article, it's only 35.96%. So it's really not like that much higher than other seasons.
So my only counter to that would be from the top. So the top end is probably better than it's ever been, but the bottom end is probably worse because there's more terrible guys shooting. So what I'm saying is guys like Paul George, Oladipo, these guys who were probably 35 to 38 are all of a sudden 38 to 40 because they're actually good 3-point shooters. But then you've got like the Turners, the Valchunas, the Sabonis. Those guys who should not be taking threes, because they're being forced to. Even Ibaka's kind of one of those kind of guys, where these guys just shouldn't be shooting threes. They're not meant to. So they're dragging the whole thing down. But in the top part of the league, you know, you take the top 50 guards and small forwards in the league, and maybe you see that they're all shooting like 2 or 3% better.
Yeah. For the Pacers, though, I think a lot of it's been the offense. Bogdanović, only last year, I think he only took like 1.1 or 1.2 wide open threes per game. This year, he's up to 2.8. So they're just like
seeking. He's loving this offense.
Yeah, they're seeking out actions to get him open. And he's obviously just been absolutely draining them this year. He's shooting 50% on his wide open threes, especially in transition. He's even a little higher than that. And then Turner has those pick and pop plays where he just slides out behind the line. He's at like 40% on his wide open threes, especially off those plays. And Collison and Lance and all the guards have been good at finding them on those pocket passes. So I really think it's a product of the offense. And especially I think that because the same thing happened last year. So it's clearly something McMillan does where it's like, don't shoot unless you're wide open or on a heat check or something that allows them to shoot so well, even though they don't take that many attempts.
But the offense is better this year
than it was last year. No, it is.
It just looks cleaner. It looks like he tried to run this system last year, but none of the players knew how to run it or could run it, but the players this year like bought into it in a way.
I think last year they just stopped too much after the first action if the shot wasn't there and just settled.
I think also a lot of it was they felt the need, not that this isn't wrong because Paul George is a great player, but they felt the need to run the offense through him when things failed, and now they don't have that same, you know, Oladipo is their best player, but they don't, if things start to fail, sometimes it's Collison just takes the ball or something, you know, it's not necessarily like we have to get the ball to this guy because he's only going to score if we're kind of screwed. For his last game, it was like every time it's like, just find Paul in the corner and he'll be double teamed and let him take a shot, which is bad because he's, you know, he's a great player, but nobody can score when they're double teamed.
Right. We'll have to see how much it regresses because I doubt they'll stay over 40% for a season. That would be insane. But if they do, they'll definitely make the playoffs because...
Yeah, if they do that, then my way I'm in 50 games.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous number. So we'll have to see how long it keeps up. That's been pretty impressive. Should we do follows if it's us or should we just say it?
What do you mean?
For like stuff coming up this week, I don't even have to lob you a question because you're sitting right next to me.
Oh, I don't know. What do we got? This is what? There's four games. We looked up the games just a minute ago, so... They play Celtics tonight.
Magic, Rockets. Yes. Man, I should have...
Was it the Heat? No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. Man, I'm embarrassed. We literally just had the schedule up.
They play the Magic at home.
The Raptors again next week.
Rockets in Houston, in Toronto Friday. Then they come back for a 5-game home stretch against the Knicks, Bulls, Cavs, Nuggets, and then the...
Infamous
Thunder game, and they end with the Pistons. So they have a little stretch here where we just look at winnable games. Magic, probably winnable.
Especially at home.
Raptors might be winnable, I know.
Knicks at home, they could win. Bulls at home, they're definitely going to win.
Cavs winnable at home. Nuggets are winnable at home. Thunder, Thunder stink right now, so who knows.
Yeah, a lot of Pistons are to beat at home, so yeah, big chance for a huge run.
They might come into Christmas as like,
over 500
team. Yeah, 15, 13, 15 and 12 maybe even. That would be awesome.
Surpassing everyone's expectations.
Yeah, and on what would that put him on pace to be? Like a 30,
40-ish, little.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I know I hit on my podcast, but if when I did my solo one, I mean, obviously, Stevenson's going to win Coach of the Year, but McMillan, if they win 45 games without Paul George, that might be a runner-up.
And then listen to this if they get to a good record close to Christmas. Listen to this run of games. Starting December 20th, Hawks, home for Nets, Pistons, home for Mavs, Bulls, home for Timberwolves, Bucks, home for Bulls, home for Bucks. Like, they could win almost all those and be, like, 2 or 3 games over 500.
Yeah, and one thing I like about this team right now, too, is they don't seem to be, like with the Paul George, it seemed like it was inevitable we got to make the playoffs. This team is, like, knows they're, like, might not make it, so they're hungrier to win, so they might not get stuck in that dog days of the NBA, you know what I mean, when you get logged and you're playing every other night kind of thing, which is good, because I felt last year the Pacers were, like, by December, we're just, like, we just want to get the playoffs. That's all I want to do, and we'll figure out when we get there. This year, it's like, we need to make the playoffs. Like, we might not make the playoffs kind of thing. Like, they just, it was inevitable to make the playoffs last year. This year it's not. So, interesting to watch another stretch. They beat Houston. That'd be huge.
Yeah, if you want to keep up with their playoff chances, you should follow this podcast on Twitter at Locked On Pacers.
Yeah, we're going to follow a little bit. Catch us on ISC, Indiana yep. sports coverage. You can also read Tony on Hoops Habitat. Right, did that right?
Yeah, that's fine.
It's habit. Why habitat? I think habit for me, Andy.
That's
Hoots,
okay.
Hoots Habit, and you can read me and Andy Cornrows. We'll obviously be doing more podcasts this week. If we aren't on Monday because I might be traveling, then we'll be on for Tuesday's show. But either way, we'll do our weekly show again, so you won't hear us probably back-to-back times or close to it. And then we'll do our usual. We'll try to bring on some guests and do weekly shows.
Yeah, we hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Have safe travels home. We'll be back Monday with something.
Yeah, congrats to CJ Miles on his baby.
Congrats to CJ Miles on the baby.